The hottest DJs from around the world.
Well, 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 here we are once again on this glorious Sunday, bringing you some good gospel music and about to bring you some good teachings. We have on the line Miss Gillian, who will be bringing you that information from a biblical perspective and bringing you the word of the Lord. Miss Gillian, how are you? Say that again, because we couldn't hear you.
You couldn't hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Okay. I'm fine. I'm doing great.
That's good. That's good. I hear you're going to bear it alone today.
Oh, yes. Sharma is out with the youth today, so I'm all alone. By God's grace, I'll deliver the word to you through the power of the Holy Ghost.
All righty.
All right. All right. So good morning, my listening friends, and happy Sunday to you. It's a sunny Sunday here in Brooklyn, New York. And I am Jillian, and I am here with you to address issues in the news from a biblical perspective, and to make intercession on your behalf, and for us to praise the Lord with inspirational songs. I know if you had tuned in earlier, I know Lester had it going with some wonderful songs. One of them that I enjoy a lot, when Jesus say yes, nobody can say no. Praise the Lord. Sharma is off today. She's with the youth on a fun day, and she will be back next Sunday. So I know today I have a lot to unpack. While some of you may be listening from work or at home, you may be driving your car to church, you may be going grocery shopping, or just enjoying breakfast, you might be relaxing in bed. Whatever you are doing, I am so happy and grateful to share with you this morning. My listening friend, if it's convenient for you, I would love for you to grab your Bible. If you have a hard copy, just get hold of it right now. If you have the app on your phone, just get it right now. Just open it up now. Or you can just Google it, because we are going to dig deep and wide as we explore the Word of God today. I would just like us to recap a little of what we did last week and the week before, and then we are going to go a little deeper, because we have to understand. I would like us to have the picture, and that will help us to make the connection with the events in our world today to the bigger cosmic conflict, the conflict of good and evil. In Revelation 12, we learned that the government in heaven, a pure and holy and perfect place, was attacked. We read in Revelation 12:7 that war broke out in heaven. And as a result, the devil, which is called Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the ground. He and his angels were cast out from heaven to the earth. And Revelation 12:4 tells us that his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the ground. So here the text is saying to us that one third of the thousands of angels were cast down to this earth. Now you may ask the question, where did the devil come from? Did God create a devil? Where did this devil come from to break out war in heaven? To cause a war to break out in heaven? Where did he come from? Now, the Word of God has the answer. That's the reason I tell you to get your Bible so we can dig deep and wide this morning. The Word of God, the Bible says in Isaiah 14. You see, before I read, I just like to let you know that that Satan was an angel, a beautiful angel called Lucifer. So Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14 says, "How are you falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nation? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will be like God." Satan wants to be like God. He wants to take the throne of God. Ezekiel 28, verse 12, gives us a little more insight. It says, "Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground." So that's the reason we have a devil today. He attacked that beautiful angel that God created, called Lucifer, was not satisfied with his position. He attacked the government of heaven, and he told the other angel, he deceived the other angels by telling them that God's law was unfair and unjust. And so he was cast out on this earth with the other angels who fell for his deception. So now let us shift to the Garden of Eden. God created a perfect couple and placed them in a perfect home. Whenever it comes to God, it is beauty, it is perfection. He placed them in this beautiful garden called the Garden of Eden. And of course, the devil, which was cast down on this earth, showed up there. So Genesis chapter 3 tells us that the devil went to the woman and he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Did God really tell you that?" But you know what? This is what I want you to know. In verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So here, again, he is deceiving Eve. The same spirit of deception that he used in heaven to deceive one-third of the angels, he is deceiving now, or he has deceived the first couple, the first pair of human beings on this earth. He went with that enticing talk, and he told Eve, "You will be like God." The same rhetoric we hear there, as he said in Isaiah 14:14, "I will be like the Most High." So the woman saw that the tree was good, and of course she fell for the deception. So deception was introduced to the planet Earth, followed by serious consequences. So God intervened. God said to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain, you shall bring forth children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. So here we see that deception, that sin results in serious consequences. So God told the woman, and I will just repeat it, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain, you will bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. So this was the introduction of pain and sorrow into our world. It is because of the result of sin. Then God said to Adam, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. And these are the consequences. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. And at the end of the verse it says, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So here we see the introduction of death into the world. So now we know where pain, sorrow, suffering, and death comes from. And in the midst of this pronouncement of bad news, there was good news. Let's look back at verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3. We have a very, very compact verse here. It says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Here we see a pronouncement of enmity between the devil and mankind. And we notice here that it said between your seed and her seed. And if you look carefully, you will see her seed is in uppercase, and that seed represents the Son of God who came to die for our sins. And that seed is going to bruise the head of the devil. One day, Jesus will destroy the devil completely. And the last line in that verse says, and you shall bruise his heel. That was God speaking to the serpent, saying that the serpent will bruise the heel of Jesus someday. And we know that he tried to take Jesus out when he killed him and nailed him to the cross. But we know that Jesus rose again, and the devil is a defeated foe. And one day, Jesus will come and he will destroy the devil completely. So we see here that this sets the stage for the battle of good and evil in the world, because God has pronounced enmity between the devil and human being. So we are caught in a crossfire, in a cosmic spiritual battle. And to safeguard our heart for eternal victory, we just need to follow Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we have shared this verse with you, these verses with you already, from verses 10 to 14. We just need to put on the whole armor of God. You can read it when you have the time. Verse 13 is saying, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. And we know that the armor of God is truth. We need to embrace truth. We need to embrace righteousness. The armor of God, part of the armor of God is peace. Part of the armor of God is faith. We need to exercise faith in Jesus Christ. Part of the armor of God is salvation. Part of the armor of God is the word of God. We need to read the word of God. We need to get into our Bible and read the word of God and hear God communicating with us. We need to communicate with God through prayer. This is how we are going to get the victory in this cosmic conflict that we find ourselves in. So we should always, another thing that we should take note of is that God created us with free will. God gave us the ability to make choices. Myra Gibson, in her article, The Good Fight, she explains it like this. He also, which is God, upon creating man and woman, granted them free will. Free will, this mechanism that has been built in our very essence, means that for better or for worse, we can do what we want. Historically, free will has led to both good and evil alike. And that is our own doing, not God. Free will has led humanity to appoint kings and leaders, to instill rules and regulations, to maintain order and decency in society. Free will can either be a curse or a blessing to us. Lucifer, that beautiful angel that God created, in using his free will, he used it to oppose the government of God. And what was the result? He was cast out of heaven and sentenced to die. Adam and Eve, both of them were created perfect in God's sight. In using their free will, they disobeyed God and they were expelled from the Garden of Eden and were sentenced, and both of them were sentenced to die. So we can use this free will that God gives us either for a blessing or a curse. So here we see that we are in the center of a spiritual warfare between good and evil, and our free will decides which side we are on. Moses admonishes the Israelites in Deuteronomy 30:19. He says, I will call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I will set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Moses is calling on the Israelites to choose life. And I call on you today to choose life, that you may live. Let us go before the Lord in prayer at this time. Eternal God and Father, I thank you and I praise you, O God, that you are our creator. You are our redeemer. You are our friend. I thank you, O Lord, for your love and your mercy. I thank you, O Lord, that we are in the land of the living today. We thank you, O Lord, that those who are listening have ears to hear this message this morning. I thank you for health. I thank you for strength. I thank you for food, clothing, and shelter. And I thank you most of all, Lord, that you have sent your Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. We thank you, O Lord, for that plan of salvation that you initiated at the very moment mankind yielded to sin. And we thank you, O Lord, that you have sent Jesus to die. We thank you for the blood. We plead your blood this morning to wash away our sins. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that is available to guide us and to protect us. Lord, this morning, there may be some who don't have any shelter. There may be some who don't have any food. There may be some who don't have any clothing. And I pray, Lord, that you will provide for them. You will make a way somehow. I pray, Lord, this morning that you will heal the sick. You will heal the brokenhearted. You will restore strength to the weary. You will heal those who are depressed and emotionally broken at this time. I ask you, O Lord, to come by near. I ask you, O Lord, to be with those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. We ask you, Lord, that you will give them peace and you will give them comfort. There may be some who are in an abusive relationship. And we ask you, Father, that you will deliver them today. There may be someone who is fighting a court battle and they need a victory. Oh, Lord, I ask you that you will grant them that victory. Oh, Lord, you know everybody's heart. And we ask you, oh, Lord, that you will reach out. You will touch them, relieve them from any burden, any pain, any sorrow that they're going through right now. I just ask you, oh, Lord, for deliverance at this time. I praise you, Lord, for who you are, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our friend. And I ask you, oh Lord, that you will hear and you will answer our prayer in the name of Jesus. At this time, we will listen to a song, The Goodness of God. Let us celebrate the goodness of God in our life right now. And on the other side of the song, I will continue to share events of the world in a biblical perspective. So let's get that song, The Goodness of God. I will sing The Goodness of God.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails. Held in your hands from the moment that I wake up.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the goodness of God. As we continue to explore the Bible to put the events of the world into perspective, let's go to Ecclesiastes. This book was written by a wise man, the wise man Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4, reading from verse 4. It says, one generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. Verse 9 says, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And I want you to take note of this one, of this line here. It says, and there is nothing, nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see what is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. So the events of today are just a replay of what has been happening since creation, because the same forces are behind the event. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. Again, we are being admonitioned. And it says here, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And the appeal is given to us again. Resist him. Resist the devil by standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. It doesn't matter where we are living. All of us are faced with the same kind of suffering. And this has been happening from days of old, since sin entered the world. So we have to resist the devil in the name of Jesus. We need to stand firm in the faith of Jesus. And I will share with you maybe two stories in the Bible to let us make some connection with the Bible and the events in the world. Let us turn to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 41. The king of Egypt saw in a dream that a crisis was coming upon the land of Egypt, and there was a need for someone to lead the country through the crisis and manage the country through the recovery process. At that time, they were calling the king of Egypt Pharaoh. So the king of Egypt turned to a man. And I want you to listen to the description of this man, or the background of this man. The king of Egypt turned to a man who was brought from prison to interpret the dream for him. And that man was Joseph. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. So in this crisis, despite Pharaoh's chief butler went to the prison to get this man to interpret Pharaoh's dream, Pharaoh appointed this man as his vice president. He appointed him as vice president of Egypt to take charge of the crisis that was coming upon the land. Joseph was not an Egyptian. I want you to take note of that. Joseph was serving time in prison because he was falsely accused of what? He was falsely accused of attempted rape. The Pharaoh at that time, he didn't bow to the pressure from the Me Too movement when evidence showed that the accusation was false. He didn't ask him for his birth certificate. He didn't check out which zip code he is residing in. He didn't give him a loyalty test. He didn't give him any background check. He didn't find out about his political ideology. He saw a wise man with a spirit of discernment. He saw a man of integrity, a man of competence who can get the job done, a man who can save the country from starvation and rebuild the economy. So when all the land, and this is verse 55, so when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, and whatever he says to you, do. The man who was taken from prison is now the vice president. Because God gave Pharaoh that spirit of discernment to see that this man was capable of taking charge of the country. And let us take note, we need to follow that example so that when we are electing and selecting people to govern us, let us look for a man of integrity. Let us look for a man who has the spirit of discernment. Let us look for a man or a woman with competence who can get the job done and who can save the country and build our economy. Later, Joseph's siblings migrated to Egypt to join him there. And you know, as time rolled on, Joseph died, and his descendants and his sibling and his sibling descendants increased in number. So Exodus, we move now from the book of Genesis, and let's move over now to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, the Egyptians, said, you know what? Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal with them shrewdly, because these people are going to multiply, and it happens in the event of war, they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. Therefore, set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. But the more, verse 12 says, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with vigor, with rigor, and they made their life bitter with hard bondage. So here we see the king of Egypt is saying, let's put rules in place to suppress these people. We need them. We do need them to build our economy, but we don't want them to become the majority. We don't want them to take over this land. We don't want them to govern over us. and so he went even a little further to ensure that a leader doesn't come out of this minority group. Exodus chapter 1, verse 15 says that the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrews' midwives and asked them, O Lord, verse 16, he said to them, my Lord, he said to them, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrews' women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. However, the midwife, they fear God, and they refuse to carry out Pharaoh's order. So Pharaoh turned to the public. In desperation, we don't hide what we're doing anymore. We put them into law, and we say it out in public. So Pharaoh turned to the general public, and so he commanded all the people, and he said to them, every son who is born, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So we know that history shows us that leaders have been predominantly men. We also see our leaders around the world will go to such extent just to stay in power, even taking innocent lives, lives of babies. However, in every situation, God has the final say. And I go back to the song that Lester played earlier. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. If you continue reading the story in Exodus 2, 1 to 10, you will see Pharaoh's daughter save one of the male child. And Moses' daughter, sorry, Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter saved one of those male child. And that child's name was Moses. She adopted him and took him to the palace where he received leadership training. What an irony. One of the male children that Pharaoh commanded to be thrown in the water is now his grandson and heir to the throne of God. But it wasn't God's plan for the Israelites to remain in Egypt. God had a plan to rescue them, to save them, but not for them, but not to make life better for them in Egypt. His plan was to deliver them from Egypt. So during their suppression and their hardship, the Israelites cried out to God. They went to the ultimate source of help. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. And they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. Verse 24. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Deliverance finally came. Moving on to Exodus chapter 14, verse 30 and 31. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the land of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared God and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Our deliverance is coming as well. Let us enjoy this song, no matter what. and then I will share with you something on our deliverance that is coming. No matter what, God will always be with us and we will always serve the Lord. So let's go over to you. Let's get that song. No matter what.
That's all I can hold on to. I've gotta say this is taking me by surprise, but nothing surprises you. Before a heartache can never touch my life, it has to go through your hands. And even though I keep asking, nothingness by myself, I'm just sitting in silence. There's no way I can make it without your help. I won't even try it. I know you have your reasons for everything, so I will keep believing. Whatever I might be feeling, God, you are my
going to continue to serve and praise the Lord. Oh, how I wish I could tell you this morning that one day you will eventually experience your utopia here on this planet Earth when we're talking about deliverance. One thing I want you to take note of is that God did not save the Israelites in Egypt. He delivered them from Egypt. So, oh, how I wish I could tell you that the president would eventually find a way to bridge the deeply polarized nation and get both parties to agree on policies. However, in reality, at this point, it all seems elusive. You may still have that hope, and that's all right. We have to be optimistic, and we have to use all the tools and resources at our disposal to work for the betterment of humanity. So it's good to have hope and to keep trying new things because, of course, while we sojourn here on this earth, we want to find peace. We want to find comfort. So that is okay as we seek out different things where we can have peace and comfort in this world. I wish I could tell you with certainty that COVID-19 is the last pandemic that will shut down the world because of the preparedness of the scientific world in collaboration of Operation Warp Speed to combat such diseases. I wish I could tell you that when the politicians get it right or get control on climate changes, that there will be no more natural disaster. But this I can tell you, that to conquer and overcome all the ills, the despair and destruction that we are experiencing here on this world, I can tell you that it's not going to happen. That is an elusive dream. We would not overcome all the ills and destruction and pain and suffering while we are here on this planet Earth. However, there is an old prophet by the name of John who was exiled to a lonely island called Patmos. And while he was there in his loneliness and he was meditating upon the past and the future, he got a vision. And he recorded this vision in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. So just to let you know, I believe in the Bible. I have faith in the Bible. I accept the words in the Bible as true and authentic. So praise the Lord. John, in his vision, he saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. This earth, with so much disaster, is gone. The polluted atmospheric heaven is gone. Revelation 21 and verse 1. Moving on to verse 4, John tells us, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, or nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I know for many of you, my listening friends, this is only a reminder, and it's good to be reminded about the good news, about that new heaven and that new earth that John talked about. For others with questioning minds, I would like you to understand that it was never God's plan to create us and put us in a sinful and corrupt world. God created a perfect world and perfect human beings. But because of the freedom of choice, sin entered the world, which is a result of all this corruption, all the disaster, all the diseases, all the pain and suffering. The greatest of all the great news is that God, our Creator, has provided us with a rescue plan despite our choosing to sin, despite us using our free will to choose to sin. As outlined in the Bible, I believe and accept that God the Father sent his Son Jesus into this sinful world to die, to rescue you and me from sin, and is preparing a sin-free earth for you and me. And part of the great news is that God has an open invitation for all of us to confess and repent of our sins. The Word of God says in First John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So just to be clear, forgiveness of sins does not mean a trouble-free life. The words of Jesus himself makes it clear. These things I have spoken to you, that in me, Jesus, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16, verse 33. Those are the words of Jesus himself, telling us that in this world, we will have tribulation, we will have trouble, but we can find peace and comfort in Jesus as we await for that new earth, as we await for our deliverance, which will happen one day. So I leave with you the words of Jesus, be of good cheer through the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I will pray again. Thank you, dear Father, for the plan of salvation. Thank you, O Lord, for forgiving us of our sins. We bring all our sins and shortcomings before you at this time. And we ask you, O dear Father, that you will give us faith. We ask you to cover us with the blood of Jesus and help us, O Father, that we will communicate with you. We will read your word. We will listen to your word, and we will make it a practice to pray to you and to bring our trouble and our trials before you as we await for that day, that wonderful day when you will burst the cloud of heaven and come and take us to that new earth and that new heaven that you are preparing for us. So grant us peace, Lord. Help us to be of good cheer. We know it can happen through your power. Take full control, dear Father, is my prayer with thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen and amen. And we will part with a song, Jesus Never Fails. Jesus never fails us, and he will continue to be faithful to us until the end. So over to you, Lester.
Your love never fails. Locked on to Lester Canyon.